with networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more. Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I can't say that I've reached the point yet, but I can understand the perspective of the players in the Super Bowl, right? Every year we hear players in the Super Bowl, when it gets to around this time of the week, right, when you get to late Wednesday into Thursday and especially into Friday, you'll start to hear the quote of like, man, I'm tired of talking about it. I just want it to be here.
Are you to that point?
I'm not quite to that point yet. I can't feel like I feel like I can't get to that point because it's kind of my job to like talk about it. So I feel like tiring of talking about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl is a bad look for me. But I can say that I am definitively ready for this thing. Like if I could just close my eyes tonight when I go to bed and wake up and it's Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, great. I'm all for it. But I can't say that I'm quite tired of talking about the Super Bowl yet because the Chiefs are playing in it, right? It would be one thing if like we're talking about a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl, God forbid, or a Bengals-Niners Super Bowl, God forbid, but we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs going to their fifth Super Bowl in 6 years and trying to win their fourth in 6 years and trying to complete something that's never been done in the history of the National Football League, and that's win three consecutive Super Bowls. So, no, I can't say that I'm really tired of talking about it yet. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you, my producer for tonight's show, Julio Sanchez. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Feel free to chime in with us, 913-586-7965. You can send us messages in the text line via that number, or you guys can give us a call. We'll be happy to chat with you here later on in the show. No guests lined up for tonight. Might have some guests lined up for tomorrow night to talk about this game. But there's still a few storylines to get to with this Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl. We've got NFL news that came out today. More of it, right? NFL Honors is going on tonight. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class for 2025 is going to be announced. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter's going to prison. Rob Manfred talking about salary cap in Major League Baseball. Hint, hint, nothing's going to come of it. So there's a lot to dissect. with some of these things here across the National Football League. And some of it I find wildly entertaining. We'll begin with some news in regards to the Super Bowl. Injury news, I guess, quote unquote, injury report news for the Kansas City Chiefs, as a fourth player has now popped up for the Kansas City Chiefs on their latest injury report. I, again, not going to make much of it, but I was talking about how earlier this week, or even yesterday, Jalen Carter was listed as a limited participant in practice because of an illness. Chiefs had something similar with punter Matt Araiza. He was a full participant at practice today, but he himself is dealing with a little bit of an injury, or an illness, I should say. So that's something to kind of continue to follow, but we're still, a couple of days away from Super Bowl Sunday. I think he's got plenty of time to get himself figured out before that becomes a factor in the game. Mahomes is still listed on the report with that ankle injury, but he was a full participant at practice again today. Juwan Taylor with a knee injury again. He was a full participant, so not much to make of those two things. Sky Moore was limited once again today. I'm still of the belief, and I will stand by it, until I see him on the field on Super Bowl Sunday, I don't think he's going to play in this game.
No.
I don't think it's necessary for him to play in this game. I've been wrong before, so if I see him lined up in the slot on a big 3rd and 6, I'm going to be just as much in a panic as everybody else. However, I don't see that happening in this game.
Something's gone horribly wrong, if that's the case.
Something has gone catastrophically awry, and we should all be extremely, extremely worried about what that means for the remainder of the game. For the Philadelphia Eagles, they had a lot of guys listed, at least, on their injury report, but most of them did practice. Zach Bond was a full participant in practice today. Jalen Carter was limited again this afternoon in practice, still dealing with that illness. He did not go through media participation today again after he didn't yesterday either. So that is definitely something to monitor as we get closer and closer to the week. If that becomes to be a little bit more of a chronic thing and he's not quite able to kick the illness, that could definitely eat into his snaps a little bit, I think, in this game. A gambit of guys for the Eagles were full participants today. Britton Covey, Landon Dickerson, Dallas Goedert, Cam Jurgens, and CJ Uzama, all of which were full participants yesterday as well. Brandon Graham and Devonta Smith, along with Nick Gates, were limited today, but a storyline to follow was that the Eagles did officially activate Brandon Graham off of the injured reserve. They opened up his 21-day practice window, opening up the possibility that he will be able to play in this game, sort of in a rotational sort of a thing. He's not going to start and play 40 snaps by any stretch, but maybe 10 or 15 pass rush sort of snaps, those sorts of things. This could very well be his last game in the National Football League. He's been in the league for 15 years. He said before the season started that this was his last year, and then he had the tricep injury back in November. And most thought his season was done, including him, but he's rehabbed extremely hard and he's got himself back to this point. The other one was Kenneth Gainwell, who spent some time as the Eagles' backup running back, but A.Q. Shipley kind of took over that role in some respects, the former running back out of Clemson. So he's more than likely going to be the third string running back for the Eagles if he can go. He was limited today, coming back off the concussion and the knee injury. I think the biggest storyline to follow really is the Jalen Carter illness. The fact that he's been limited the last 2 days with that illness, the fact that he hasn't gone through media availability in any stretch. I find that a little bit intriguing, but I'm still of the belief that Jalen Carter is going to play in this game. The question may become, how many snaps can he play in this game if he's still dealing with some of that illness and the fatigue that comes with being sick?
Yeah, I'll take a 90% Jalen Carter over 100% any day of the week. I mean, that's still any advantage you can get in this game, right? You want, and him playing one or two less snaps or going 10-20% less hard than he normally would, I mean, that's an advantage for us, and hopefully we can take advantage. We'll see.
I think it's fair to say he's probably the best defensive lineman that the Eagles have as a second-year player. Yeah. He started 15 games this year for Philly. He had 4.5 sacks, 42 combined tackles. He had double-digit TFLs and 16 quarterback hits. He was a second-team All-Pro.
He's a beast.
Along the interior of the defensive line, and Again, he's 23 years old, which is a terrifying possibility for what his career could mean in the future. And I think a lot has been made of this Eagles defensive line and, you know, how good they've been at times this year, how much better they've been as the year has progressed. But for, you know, people to say, oh, you know, this the Eagles defensive line is going to wreak havoc on Patrick Mahomes. This Eagles defensive line, in my opinion, is not even as good as the one they had 2 years ago that nearly broke the NFL record for sacks in a season by a single team. I think that they have definitely got some very, very talented pieces. Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith and Sweat, and with Brandon Graham coming back, that gives you a little bit more depth to throw into the rotation. But I don't look at this unit and have the same level of fear as I had a couple of years ago when they had Fletcher Cox and Hassan Reddick along that. Hassan Reddick had like 40 plus quarterback pressures. I mean, that season for the Philadelphia Eagles, they don't have anybody near that. I think Jalen Carter leads their team in pressures with like 23 or 24. So this defensive line is extremely talented. I just don't think it's as good a unit as they had 2 years ago. And I think this Chiefs offensive line is better than they were 2 years ago, which is kind of a wild thing to say, especially along the interior. And since they put Joe Tooney out at left tackle, they've looked like an elite unit once again.
Yeah, I don't want to say they're necessarily overrated, because they are one of the tops in the league, but I think you also have to take into account maybe a little bit of their schedule, right? I think you have to take into account the division that they play in, right? So some of those numbers I think were maybe a little bit padded. As far as being compared to maybe 2 years ago, I honestly do think they're on the same level as that defensive line 2 years ago. A little bit younger, I think, a little bit more athletic. Whereas I think they had a little bit more experience, some of the older guys. But I think the big difference is the secondary, right? The talent that they have, right? They're inexperienced back there, but I think that the talent back there and their effectiveness allows that defensive line to play a little more loosely. Now, how effective that's going to be against the Chiefs, just because of the multitude of weapons that they have, I think that will probably play a big difference in the game, but I don't know that you can discount their defensive line. We'll see. Jalen Carter versus Trey Smith, I think that's the matchup we're all kind of keeping an eye on.
That one's going to be fascinating to watch. It'll be interesting to see if the Eagles try to mix things up a little bit.
I mean, they haven't done it all year, so there's not a real reason to think.
Right, but if you look at the possibility of trying to match up Jalen Carter with maybe Caliendo at left guard, I think you've got a much bigger advantage at that spot. Then you see the likelihood of a double team with Creed Humphrey to try to make those things work. I think that would be extremely beneficial to Philly. If you put Jalen Carter man up with Caliendo and you force Creed Humphrey to try to double team, because that allows everybody else to go one-on-one, which I think opens things up for your defensive line. But you're right. You know, Vic Fangio is a huge, you know, he's very much a proponent of playing within the system and don't deviate from the plan. What's worked has worked, and leave guys in particular spots. He's not one to kind of let guys, you know, DBs shadow a guy across the field, flip sides the way that maybe the Chiefs have done with Trent McDuffie at times this year with Jamar Chase and Devontae Adams and other guys that they've played against this year. So that's definitely a storyline to watch. These are two teams that during the regular season didn't generate a ton of sacks. They were both about middle of the pack in the league. Eagles had 41 sacks as a team. The Chiefs had 39, but they've both ramped that up here in the postseason. And a lot of that can be attributed, for the Chiefs anyway, to George Karlaftis. You know, I looked at a stat earlier today. George Karlaftis has the fourth most sacks in NFL history for a player in their first 3 years in the playoffs. He's got 7 postseason sacks in his first 3 years in Kansas City. The only guys with more in their first 3 years in the league in the playoffs: Lamar Woodley, who had 8 with the Steelers; Nick Bosa, who had 8 in his first 3 years in the postseason with the 49ers, and the guy in first is Richard Dent. who had 9 sacks in his first 3 years in the National Football League. That's a pretty special player that the Chiefs have in his first 3 years, a guy who has, to this point, never lost a playoff game.
I was going to say that might be a little skewed, right, in the fact that they've made it to the Super Bowl all 3 years.
Yeah.
So he's maybe had a few more games than some others that may be a little bit lower on the list, but that does by no means diminishes what he's contributed, because he's been on fire this postseason.
He's been extremely good this postseason. He, you know, a lot of it buoyed by that 3-sack game that he had against the Texans in the divisional round. And you're right, he's played a ton of playoff games for a guy that's only in his third year in the National. He's played in 9 playoff games already at this point in his career.
The most you could possibly play, right?
Yeah, and Sunday will be 10. The only way he would have played more is if in 2022 the Chiefs hadn't gotten the 1 seed and gotten the first round bye, and then this year if they hadn't gotten the bye. So he could have played in as many as 12, but 10 is pretty good over this 3-year stretch. I don't think he's complaining about that all that much. But that's going to be a fascinating little bit to watch. I think it's going to be fun. Taking a look at our text line, 913-586-7965. Lance said that he put $10 on George Karlaftis to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Oof, I don't know about that one. I'm not saying it's not possible.
It's a long shot bet, but the payout on it is ridiculous. He says it's a $10 bet, and if it hits, $910.
All right.
90 to 1 is pretty good.
Maybe donate to $10, but you know.
That's pretty good. 785 says a padded division with 2 other playoff teams. Yeah, I agree. The Chiefs, you know, I don't know who said padded. Somebody say something about a padded division?
Not referring to the Chiefs, I would think.
I would assume the Eagles were playing in a sort of padded division.
Right.
I think, you know, and I have a stat revolving around that, talking about Saquon Barkley. I think a lot has been made of the Kansas City Chiefs and hey, is the Chiefs defense going to be able to slow down Saquon Barkley? I came across an interesting stat today that kind of shows you the disparity between what Saquon has been able to accomplish against teams that are not tremendous against the run versus teams who are among the best in the National Football League at stopping the run. And I have to say, the disparity is pretty wide with what he's been able to accomplish against teams that are bad against, you know, bad rush defenses against teams who are elite in that part of the game. And I can guarantee you, absolutely assure you, the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the elite rush defense units in the National Football League. So we'll discuss that stat when we come back, and a few other little storylines and statistics to follow with this Kansas City Chiefs team as they get set to take on the Eagles in Super Bowl 59. After Hours with Logan Weber, joined by Julio Sanchez, here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Did you
realize that you were a champion? It should come as a surprise to nobody, but the NFL honors have officially named Jaden Daniels as the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year this year, putting together one of the best
Shocking.
Rookie seasons by a quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Put up extremely good numbers, both throwing and running, and took his team all the way to the NFC Championship as a rookie with a first-year head coach, brand new offensive and defensive coordinator, a brand new GM, and a gaggle of new players. No surprise to anybody that Jaden Daniels is the National Football League's Offensive Rookie of the Year. We're going to talk more about the Super Bowl as we go along here tonight. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you, my producer for tonight's show, Julio Sanchez. But Julio, I want to kind of go through these honors. You know, who are the finalists for tonight? We did this a couple of weeks ago, but the awards are being announced tonight officially. And I kind of want to go through and determine who we think are going to win some of these awards. So we obviously won't do Offensive Rookie of the Year because that's already been announced. But some of these other ones are going to be being announced as the night goes on. Let's go to Defensive Rookie of the Year. The finalists are Cooper DeJean, Braden Fiske of the Los Angeles Rams, Quinyon Mitchell from the Eagles, as well as Cooper DeJean, Chop Robinson from the Miami Dolphins, and Jared Verse of the Los Angeles Rams. I'm of the belief that Jared Verse likely wins this award. He's the only one of the 5 that was named to the Pro Bowl or was given any other sort of postseason accolades. Not that the other four aren't deserving, but Verse was getting love from players and fans. He's the guy that ultimately comes away with the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, no argument from me there. That I'd pretty clear cut. He's a beast.
Oh, no question about it. NFL's Coach of the Year, you've got Dan Campbell from the Lions, Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, Sean Payton with the Denver Broncos, Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders, and Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if this was an award that included the postseason, then it's likely Dan Quinn taking a rookie quarterback to a 12-5 record and, you know, helping guide them to an NFC championship game. Unfortunately, these awards are typically voted on before the postseason even starts. So with that in mind, I kind of believe that Kevin O'Connell might walk away with the award. A 14-3 regular season. You were, you know, final game of the regular season on Sunday Night Football away from being the one seed in the NFC. Now, the playoffs did not go your way in any stretch of the imagination, but you drafted a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy in the first round. He goes down with an ACL tear during the preseason, and you're kind of de facto then saying, all right, Sam Darnold is our guy, which he was already listed as the starter prior to that, but there may have been a change that occurred at some point. You're saying we're going to roll with a guy in Sam Darnold who was completely unproven anywhere else he'd been in the league. He turned into a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. I think Kevin O'Connell probably wins that award tonight.
Yeah, and playing in such a tough division. You know, Dan Campbell's there, but again, I think expectations coming into the season, they ended kind of where people expected. So I don't know that he's necessarily deserving. Sean Payton, I think, is definitely an interesting one. Mm. Doing what he did, right, with the rookie quarterback that no one's seen coming either. Again, they're just playing such a, I mean, it's Chiefs in this division. Yeah. What can you do? And then Andy Reid, you know, as much as I like to see him nominated, he's just, it's never going to be a thing for him.
No.
So Kevin O'Connell.
It's unfortunate. I'd love to see him win the award. I'd be jumping for joy if he won the award. Yeah. He led the team to the NFL's best record, the one seed in the AFC with, you know, a revolving door of wide receivers, with a revolving door at left tackle, with, you know, you lose your number one corner from last year and Legarius Sneed, he goes over to Tennessee. Your kicker goes down with an injury. Your wide receiver one goes down with an injury. Your wide receiver two goes down with an injury. There were a lot of rotating pieces for this Chiefs team, and they never seemed to lose their stride. They won so many close games. Excuse me. He's only won one Coach of the Year award in his entire career, which seems like an absolute travesty. I mean, it is like it's like Nolan Ryan never winning a Cy Young levels of travesty. But I guess that's the nature of the beast.
Expectations,
right?
Man. I mean, he's such a damn good coach, and this organization is so damn good. I mean, that's what's expected of them at this point now. So
yeah, he didn't exceed expectations because the expectations were already sky high. The NFL's Comeback Player of the Year award finalists. I think
interesting, right?
It's interesting, but I think that there's one particular player that may win this one a little bit going away. You've got Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals, Sam Darnold with the Vikings, J.K. Dobbins of the Los Angeles Chargers, Christian Gonzalez with the Patriots, and DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. As good a story as it would be for DeMar Hamlin to win the award this year, I think he should have won it last year, and Agreed. He didn't. So I just don't see how he came back and played last year, and then the year after he comes back is when you give him the award. That just doesn't seem it seems strange to me. Didn't hear a lot of storylines surrounding Christian Gonzalez. It doesn't help when you're on a bad team, so I think that hurts his chances. J.K. Dobbins was good, not great for the Chargers. He did okay.
And hurt again.
Yeah, and he dealt with more injury issues. I think it comes down to one of either Joe Burrow or Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was almost out of the league entirely, right? I mean, he was playing scout team for the Carolina Panthers, backing up Bryce Young, and everybody thought his career was over with. He was going to be known as the guy who, you know, caught pneumonia and was seeing ghosts, and he did what he did this year. And I think he would be very deserving of the honor. But Comeback Player of the Year has typically been like a sort of an injury sort of thing, or a guy that was out of the league entirely and came back, like Joe Flacco did last year. Joe Burrow,
I hate it. I hate it.
I know
man.
You do.
I hate it.
But Joe Burrow likely would have been an MVP he would have been the MVP favorite if the Bengals would have been 11-6 instead of 8-10 or 8-9 or whatever they ended up finishing. He had a bad defense that let him down week after week. I think Joe Burrow is likely the Comeback Player of the Year.
Unfortunately, it's looking that way, but I mean, my stance on this is, look, Joe Burrow gets hurt every other season with a major injury. So are we just going to do this like every other year with Joe Burrow? And I mean, I think everyone legitimately sees him right as a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league. That's just what it is. So again, it's only a matter of time, not if, but when he gets hurt again. Are we going to do this every other year or every third year where he's going to get comeback play? I mean, to me, I think Sam Darnold is just such a better storyline, a true comeback. It's not an injury, right? But all the struggles he's gone through of having such high hopes and expectations coming into the league where he was drafted, to the lows of being just a backup and a journeyman, to now, you know, potentially fighting for a number one seed going into the playoffs. Like, to me, he's just so much more deserving than a Joe Burrow who, quite honestly, again, I keep going back to this well, but expectations, he's supposed to be great. I don't understand why that's a big surprise.
Yeah.
And he's thrown to Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, come on.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I would be more predicated towards giving the award to Sam Darnold, who everybody had written him off. I mean, everybody thought his career was dead in the water after 4 years with the Jets. He gets, you know, replaced by Zach Wilson, who had 4 years with the Jets, and he ends up in Carolina as sort of like a backup, and he's, you know,
San Francisco.
Yeah, it just seemed like he was destined to be a career backup and just bounce around the league forever, like we've seen with so many former high draft picks at quarterback who couldn't hack it or whatever you might say. But I would hope that it's Sam Darnold. I would be extremely pleased if it was Sam Darnold, but I do believe it's going to end up being Joe Burrow. Yeah. NFL's Assistant Coach of the Year, the finalist for that award, Joe Brady of the Buffalo Bills, Vic Fangio of the Eagles. You've got Brian Flores with the Minnesota Vikings. And then you've got the duo with the Detroit Lions, Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, and Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator. Most people are taking Ben Johnson pretty overwhelmingly to win this award.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to jump on that bandwagon myself.
The disrespect here for the Chiefs, you know, just again, it's almost on like the Andy Reid level, right? Where I guess maybe the Chiefs are just expected to have a great defense every year. I mean, he just does so much with what he has. Not that they don't have talent, because they absolutely do. I mean, they've got a Hall of Famer in Chris Jones leading the way, but man, he also should be on this list. He should be on this list, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, for no other reason than you look across that defense, and yes, they're extremely talented pieces, but look at like the draft position of some of these pieces, right?
What he does with the talent.
Look, Shamari Connor and Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, right? Leo Chenal, Brian Cook. It's mind-boggling to look at where these guys were drafted and how they're performing in this defense. Yes, you've got high draft picks and Chris Jones and Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie and Nick Bolton, guys who were first or second rounders. But a majority of this defense is made up by guys that were fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh round picks like Jalen Watson was. And they're massive points of emphasis within this defense. And that a lot of that goes back to, of course, Brett Veach, the general manager, who is one of the best in the league at drafting in late rounds for really, really high value talent. But what Steve Spagnuolo and his defense and his coaching staff on the defensive side of the football do with those guys once they arrive, because, you know, when you draft a guy in the fifth, sixth or seventh round, most teams around the league see that guy as like a fringe roster piece, right? Like, okay, he might be the 50th guy or the 52nd guy on the roster on a 53-man team. And Steve Spagnuolo was able to take these guys who most people had written off and transform them into incredible pieces. I mean, look, Tre'Varius Ward, who was undrafted, the Cowboys wanted nothing to do with him, and he comes to Kansas City and turns into a Pro Bowler and signs a massive deal with the Niners. He was an All-Pro last year. Legarius Sneed, you know, very similarly, Chiefs draft him out of Louisiana Tech, third rounder, fourth rounder. Okay, you know what? How exactly is Legarius? He was the best man-to-man cover corner in football last year. The numbers back that up. That's what Steve Spagnuolo provides. I agree with you. He should have been on there. He's not. I think Ben Johnson probably ends up winning that award.
Yeah.
We want to go through and take a look at the Defensive Player of the Year, the Offensive Player of the Year, and the MVP finalist when we come back, because the MVP award this year, I think, is the least cut and dry that we've seen it for many, many years, right? The All-Pro kind of affected a lot of different things with that, and the history behind the All-Pro to the MVP honors is very, very intriguing. So we'll discuss that one when we come back. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez here on your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Who walks away with the NFL's MVP honor tonight? That is the question surrounding everybody's minds as the NFL honors take place tonight. We've talked about the assistant coach of the year. We've talked about coach of the year, comeback player of the year, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. The NFL announced that Jaden Daniels was the offensive rookie of the year award winner for this season, to the surprise of absolutely nobody. But we haven't had a chance to talk defensive player of the year, offensive player of the year, or MVP. So we'll do that here coming up shortly. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez with you here till 9 o'clock. Our text line is 913-586-7965. You can send us questions that you'd like to have answered in regards to the Super Bowl. Give us your predictions for the NFL honors or for the Hall of Fame class that's going to be announced officially tonight. We'll be discussing that a little bit later on in the show as well. So let's get back to these NFL honors. Before they get announced, we're trying to make some predictions on these. Let's go to Defensive Player of the Year in the National Football League this year. The five finalists are Zach Bond of the Philadelphia Eagles, Myles Garrett with the Browns, Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals, Pat Surtain of the Denver Broncos, and TJ Watt. TJ Watt with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had another impressive year this year. This is one that I find kind of interesting in some respects. I don't know. The five finalists that remain all had good years, I would say, right? And I like the fact that it's set across all three levels of the defense, right? It's not like it's saturated with, you know, four edge rushers. You've got technically three with Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, and TJ Watt, but you've also got a guy at linebacker in Zach Bond who's had a remarkable year, and what a story he's been. He was a special teams guy for the New Orleans Saints, and he shows up this year, his first year in Philly, and has almost 160 total tackles, which is unreal. And Pat Surtain II, who had a remarkable year as a cover corner this year, thought Derek Stingley might have gotten a little bit gypped out of a chance to be a finalist for the award this year. Trey Hendrickson led the NFL in sacks this year
by a decent margin.
Yes, so I'm very partial to him potentially winning this award tonight, but Pat Surtain's numbers at corner were absolutely remarkable this year. That's what leads me to believe that Derek Stingley should have been a part of this as well, because I think those are two guys that should have been vying for this award. But the fact that Stingley's not in it makes me think that Pat Surtain might win this award tonight.
Yeah, he probably will, and I think he's certainly deserving, but I'm with you. Well, he plays for Denver, so we also don't cheer for Denver players to win anything around here. But I truly, honestly think I would love to see Trey Hendrickson win this. I mean, again, he led the league in sacks by far, 17 and a half. I think the next closest was Myles Garrett, I think, with maybe 14.
Mm.
I mean, that's a pretty good difference, and I mean, he played on a crappy defense, right? I mean, they were a terrible defense. And I want to see him get paid, quite honestly. And I just, you know, being a Chiefs fan, I think everyone knows how we feel about the Bengals around here. I would love to see him go elsewhere and get paid. Knowing Cincinnati and kind of how they deal with things, they don't tend to pay their players, especially someone like that. So I'd like to see him go elsewhere, maybe in a different division. I don't know. You know, I would like to see that though.
Mm, could be. I Joe Burrow earlier today was on The Breakfast Ball on FS1, a show that we talked about at length a couple of weeks ago when Craig Carton referred to Arrowhead as Allenhead, which obviously went about
He's
as well
worst.
As the Burrowhead comment from a couple of years ago via the Cincinnati Bengals. But Burrow was asked about Trey Hendrickson, and he was very upfront about how talented a player Trey Hendrickson is and about how the Cincinnati Bengals need to pay him what he's worth and make sure that he stays around in Cincinnati for the long haul, which is quite the statement. I mean, Joe Burrow's there, obviously. They're not going to get rid of their franchise quarterback and a guy who's a top three, top four quarterback in this league. But that kind of goes against the Cincinnati Bengals and who they are historically. They are known as a very, very, how should I put this, frugal?
That's one way to put it. Sure.
Fiscally conservative sort of an organization. They
really
do not pay their guys. Yes, I am putting lipstick on this pig, which I shouldn't because it's the Bengals. They're super cheap. They're unbelievably cheap.
Pander to the audience a little.
Good.
It's okay.
I mean, they're going to let T. Higgins walk this offseason. Are you out of your mind? I couldn't believe. We were trying to figure out, like, how many teams in the National Football League could T. Higgins sign with and immediately become their wide receiver one? And it's probably, like, 25 or 26 teams in the NFL.
I mean, I'd rather T. Higgins walk than Trey Hendrickson, honestly.
I don't disagree, but knowing the Cincinnati Bengals,
not going to pay either.
They'll probably let them both walk. No doubt about it. So we go to Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL. Five finalists include the aforementioned Joe Burrow we were just talking about with the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals, a duo of guys from the Baltimore Ravens in Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and then you've got Saquon Barkley, running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the award that's given out to the non-quarterback, right? This is the non-quarterback MVP at this point in the National Football League. Saquon Barkley is going to win this award tonight going away, or at least he should.
Yeah, there, I mean, this one is probably, of any of the categories, probably the most obvious. Yeah, I think so.
I would. I mean, this is the best individual season we've seen from a running back probably since Adrian Peterson won MVP over a decade ago. I mean, he's been phenomenal this year.
Well, and again, not to skip to the MVP talks here, but I mean, if there was ever going to be a year for a non-quarterback to win, especially considering it was so kind of neck and neck between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, if Saquon, I mean, he's not going to get it. No other position on the field is going to get an MVP other than a quarterback. No. So it has to be Saquon for Offensive Player of the Year.
No question in my mind. I mean, what Saquon's done this year, what Cooper Kupp did a couple of seasons ago, as good as Ja'Marr Chase was this year, and he was phenomenal, Cooper Kupp actually had better numbers a couple of seasons ago when he had the receiving triple crown, and he didn't get anywhere near MVP consideration. So yeah, if there was going to, if Cooper Kupp wasn't even considered for MVP a couple of years ago with the season that he had, it doesn't seem like a non-quarterback is going to win the NFL MVP anywhere in the near future.
Even, do you think even if he would have broke the record, right, he still probably wouldn't have won MVP, right?
I think even if he would have broken the record, no. I think that, frankly, the tush push and Jalen Hurts at the goal line killed his chances, because Jalen Hurts probably took 8 to 10 rushing touchdowns away from him this year at the goal line with the QBR, you know, the run pass options and the tush pushes and all those sorts of things. If those carries go to Saquon and he's got 20 plus rushing touchdowns and over 2000 plus yards and he surpasses Eric Dickerson, then I think the argument is more tangible. But he kind of, because his quarterback had a lot of rushing touchdowns, it kind of took some of the push away, some of the punch away from what Saquon did this year. So that ultimately leads itself into the NFL MVP award, which will be doled out tonight. And yeah, Saquon is a finalist for the award, but he'll probably finish third or fourth in this conversation. The other four finalists: Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions, Joe Burrow with the Bengals, and then the two guys who are considered the odds-on favorites by everybody, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And I think, Julio, that you and I kind of differed on this opinion a couple of weeks ago. I'm interested to see if one of us has kind of changed our mindset here. I haven't. I'm still of the belief that Lamar Jackson's going to win this award tonight, just based off of the way that the All-Pro voting went a couple of weeks ago and the history behind whatever quarterback wins first-team All-Pro wins the MVP.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a precedence that's been set here. That being said, I will fully admit also that I have a little bit of Lamar Jackson fatigue with this award. And quite honestly, I feel a little bad for Buffalo Bills fans. I have a lot of family. I'm 45 minutes outside of Buffalo, so all my friends and family from back home, they're all Bills fans. I just, my heart breaks for them. And after what they just went through, I think with as good as Josh Allen has been for years now, he's earned it, man. He's earned it. And just, he's probably not going to get it this year. I think he deserves it. I think it's a decent consolation prize for Buffalo Bills fans. What can I say? You're probably right. It's going to be Lamar.
It appears that way, right? Because Lamar was the first team All-Pro at quarterback. Now, I don't disagree with you. I thought that if there was a year for Josh Allen to win it, it was this year. With everything that they lost last season, offensively and defensively, to have the kind of year that they had, you know, with Khalil Shakir as your number one wide receiver in the slot, you had a rookie in Keon Coleman.
He just did more with less.
Yeah, you trade for Amari Cooper mid-season, and he really didn't provide you much of anything outside of like one or two decent games. But history tells us that it's likely going to be Lamar Jackson tonight. It has been 22 years since the last time a quarterback was a second team All-Pro selection and won the MVP. And that was Steve McNair of the Tennessee Titans. The caveat with that was that he was a co-MVP that year with Peyton Manning, who was the first team All-Pro recipient. So there's a bit of an asterisk next to that. To go back to the last time a second team All-Pro quarterback was the MVP winner, was not a co-MVP, but held that honor by his lonesome, 1987, almost 40 years ago, John Elway was the MVP award winner, but was second team All-Pro that season. Joe Montana was the first team All-Pro quarterback. Elway was second, but Elway won the MVP that year. So it's been 40 years since it happened. So I don't know. And maybe we see a situation where they're co-MVPs. I don't know. I think that it's not necessarily out of the question.
Yeah. No one wants to see that. Nobody That's participation really, medal stuff.
Yeah, nobody wants to see it by any stretch. So I think just based off history, it's hard for me to go against the fact that I think Lamar wins this award tonight. Not that I agree with it. I think it should be Saquon. That's just me. But it's not going to be Saquon. Then it should be Josh Allen because of what he did with less this year. Also, doesn't appear that that's going to happen. History tells us it's likely going to be Lamar. His third MVP.
He can enjoy those with all the success that he's had in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, right? he most assuredly can. He's going to have as many MVPs as he does playoff wins.
Yeah.
If he wins this award tonight.
Not great.
Yikes. Oh, man. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll be able to take a look at our text line here in just a little bit. Coming up, however, I want to try to dive into the Pro Football Hall of Fame class. The finalists have been announced, right? They're going to take a look at it tonight, officially give us the inductees during the NFL Honors Show tonight. Want to dive into some of that as we go along here tonight. This is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez. This is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
Everybody's just waiting around for Super Bowl 59 to take place on Sunday.
Tired of waiting around.
Dude, I get it. I'm tired of waiting around. Not necessarily tired of talking about it, because it could always be worse, right? We could be talking about the Super Bowl in 2012 after the Chiefs went 2-14. Better to talk about it when your team's involved, no question about it. We've been very, very spoiled here in Chiefs Kingdom. But the NFL honors are taking place tonight. We just went through and kind of gave our predictions and our prognostications about who we think are going to win particular awards tonight. If you want to chime in and give us your predictions, our number's 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. Feel free to send us some messages in our text line via that number. They will also be announcing the NFL's Hall of Fame induction class for this year, which is kind of an interesting storyline to follow. There are a lot of finalists, a lot of modern era finalists, as well as senior finalists and contributor slash coach finalists to get to, a couple in that category as well, including, and this is kind of an interesting one and one that we will get into a little bit later on here in hour two, a former Kansas City Chief player who is highly controversial in nature, who is one of the senior finalists for the award. He was a finalist at one point in his career prior to a tragic circumstance that occurred by all intents and purposes. He spent many, many years off of the ballot, and then a recent scientific discovery has now landed him back onto the Pro Football Hall of Fame's ballot for Canton, Ohio. So we'll be talking about that here in hour number two, as well as, you know, some of these modern era finalists, because there are some very, very high profile names here, and we'll see, you know, what we think about their chances of getting into the Hall of Fame tonight. And if not tonight, will they get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at some point before their time on the ballot is said and done with? Hour number two of After Hours is coming up here on the other side. Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez on your home for Kansas City sports. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.